Dads, do you want a thriving business that doesn't control you? A passionate marriage and kids that adore you? Do you want to grow deeper in your faith? Be healthier, both physically and mentally? Build more meaningful relationships with your friends? Welcome to the Balanced Business Dad Podcast, where in each episode, we dive into balancing and optimizing the six pillars of life: faith, health, marriage, fatherhood, brotherhood, and business. And here are your hosts, pioneers of the Balanced Business Dad movement, Dustin Hoag and RJ Campbell.
What's going on, guys? And welcome to another episode of the Balanced Business Dad. I'm your host, Coach Dustin. With me, as always, the seasoned, the distinguished Mr. RJ Campbell. RJ, what'd you have for lunch yesterday?
Like, I don't know. That was 24 hours ago.
See, I was really coming up with one to get. Throw them off there, and that was, I don't know how good that one is. I'm going to have to start writing some down. Yeah,
that one probably pretty weak.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that.
That one nobody cares about. I think it was cold pizza.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Guys, we are in for a treat, and we've been in for a lot of treats lately. I mean, it's so amazing, you know, doing this work, the amount and the people we get to interview and the people we get to talk to is just absolutely amazing. And every time I think I'm more excited to get to talk to someone new to bring the value to all the business dads out there. So dads, help us welcome Mr. Tom Peterson and a fellow Midwesterner. So Tom, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm awesome, guys. Thanks so much for the opportunity to be here. But I mean, I would strongly encourage you to recalibrate your expectations about the message you'll hear from me. So, I mean, let me just put that out there.
So I've done some research and I'm very excited. So let's just jump right into it. You know, Tom, tell us kind of who you are and what you're about right now.
Yeah. Thanks again, Dustin. I mean, I think I kind of epitomize what you guys are all about. You know, husband, father, spent a long time in the utility industry as a utility communications guy. I live in Iowa right now, lived most my entire life in Iowa, proud Hawkeye graduate, married my high school sweetheart. We have 37 years under our belt, and we have two kids, a daughter and a son. Our daughter is married, lives in Iowa, and our son is in the Minneapolis area.
Nice. Awesome. So kind of tell us your journey, kind of what you're doing now and kind of your message that you want to get out to the business dad.
Yeah, the focus I have kind of grew out of my experience in the workforce. You know, again, I love what you guys have in terms of your six pillars, but for me, the two pillars where I tend to have the biggest conflict is faith and work. Mm-hmm. And it's almost because I think that the rules for work sometimes feel so different than the rules for my faith. Mm-hmm. And I spent my entire career struggling with how do I live out my faith fully. Again, when you're incented at work to behave in ways that don't necessarily, you know, match the Sermon on the Mount. You know, yeah. I always joke that I've never seen a company that has blessed are the meek in their corporate mission statement, you know.
So true.
And so I've continually struggled with that. And I kind of reached a low point when I was at a company that I'd kind of outgrown, and they had definitely outgrown me. And so I started writing about how do you find the balance between your faith and your work. And for me, a key part of that was humor, finding a way to laugh at that. Because if you really believe that your faith is embedded in a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, that you are secure in your faith, then everything else should be a lot less important, a lot less frightening to you. And you should be incented, you know, to follow your faith and not so much the work. But every day, work would just keep trying to get my attention and try to say, no, no, this is what should be your priority. This is what should be. So I found that laughing at it was a really good way to kind of help put it back in its box, give it the appropriate perspective so that I could stay focused on Jesus in the process. So I spent the past few years writing about that, blogging about that, and things like that. So that's kind of been the journey I've been on, especially the last few months.
Wow, that's awesome. And so I'm very curious. I'm a huge fan of humor in everything, honestly. Sometimes people are laughing at me, but it's still humor, right? Yet I would love an example of how you've used humor to kind of intensify the faith, but have it in the workplace, just to get a real clear understanding of that.
Yeah. And as you know, it's real dangerous to make fun of your boss or your coworkers or things like that. You know, sometimes that can kind of fly in the face of your faith.
Yeah.
So I tend to reflect a lot on where I fall down.
Yeah.
And talk. And in fact, I've written a book about this, and it's all about, you know, making fun of how poorly I do this. But it's also a way, you know, hopefully speaks to other men that, you know, we should be encouraged in this. We need to give ourselves grace. And mm-hmm. and again, I find that the humor is a good way to do this. I mean, for instance, I talk about the challenge of being in a business meeting, for instance. And if you think about it, business meetings can have that manifestation in so many ways that Paul talks about in Galatians, I think it is, about, you know, the jealousy, the bitterness, all those kinds of things. I mean, for me, that was 90% of my business meetings. Mm-hmm. But when you walk by the Holy Spirit, it's things like, you know, faith, grace, love, all those kinds of fruits of the Holy Spirit. Well, wouldn't it be interesting if we tried to apply that in the workplace? And then I characterize how poorly I do that. We laugh about it and then try to do better next time.
I love that because it's a way, you know, that I guess a lot of the differences between RJ and I, but one of them is I've been self-employed for a very, very long time where RJ's, you know, ex-corporate America guy. And I remember we were at a conference, what, 2-3 years ago now? And, you know, an amazing conference, but there was a lot of talk about faith. I mean, we were praying and then 5,000 people, we were there praying. And it wasn't unusual to me because even in my self-employed world, I worked for franchises or I was a real estate agent by faith-based companies. So right. It wasn't as unusual to me, but it was extremely unusual to RJ. And I remember him talking about that. RJ, if you kind of want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was waiting for HR to come in the back doors and tap us all on our shoulders and say, you can't be talking about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was shocking.
Yeah.
But I'm also amazed at how many people now in this entrepreneurial space are very open about their faith. Yeah. You know, you can't do, I say you can't, and you probably literally in the big, as big of companies that I've worked with, you really could not openly talk about your faith without risking reprimand.
Yeah.
I would think you wouldn't start a meeting with a prayer if somebody is going to, you know, call HR about that. I'm amazed. You know, the people that I meet that are self-employed and entrepreneurial where faith is like us, the number one pillar.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Absolutely shocking. And interesting, you know, Tom, that you mentioned, you know, these are the bookends for us. Right. You know, faith is our first pillar and business is our last right. pillar, mm-hmm. our sixth and least important. Interesting that you're talking about the two bookends of everything else.
Yeah.
Well, again, at home, I've got the ability to, you know, be a faithful father, be a faithful husband. You know, the rules are what we set up as a family. And so that from that standpoint, you know, do I do a good job at that? No, you know, that we've made that point. But at work, there's this constant pressure you feel is that you've got to deliver this. We're focused on this higher goal. In order to, you know, generate profit, in order to serve shareholders, serve customers, that sort of thing. And I always struggle with, and some of those instances, they don't happen all the time, but there are some instances where it's a pretty clear dichotomy between what the workplace wants you to accomplish and what your faith challenges you to accomplish. And so how do you navigate that? And just a shout out to the entrepreneurs, Dustin. In some ways, I think entrepreneurial is even harder. I'm kind of like RJ, and I spent most of my life in a career in a corporate setting. And so you figure out how to navigate it and sometimes push an envelope. Sometimes you don't even bother to look for the envelope. But right. sometimes the entrepreneur has got to be hard because before you, there was nothing. You show up, there's this entity. It would be so easy to feel like you should take credit for that. That's right. your work and your accomplishment. And that's even more dangerous, I think, sometimes than those of us who work in a corporate setting.
That's very interesting. I didn't think of it that way. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's none of it I did, right? So
right.
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So this journey and this writing, and it's the book, I'm pretty sure this is you, but it's Thank God It's Monday, Balancing Work and Faith. Have it up here on Amazon. So guys, we'll make sure there's a link out there so you can get this book because I'm very interested in it. So while you were doing this work, were you still in corporate America or had you already left corporate America?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting, well, I think it's interesting. I guess it's up to your listeners to decide if it's interesting, but But I like I said, I was at a job where I joined it. It was one of my first jobs out of college, and it was for a utility, and I continued to grow. I was with that company 15, 17 years by the time I was done. But the company had gone through mergers and gone through acquisitions. I'd gone through changes, family, birth of children, cancer with my wife. I mean, all these things. Mm-hmm. So that the company was very different. I was very different. And so at the end, I wasn't a good employee, I'll be honest. And frankly, I had my criticisms of the company as an employer. So that was when I started writing and started blogging about this topic, because I thought, you know, there's got to be a role for faith in this discussion. And mm-hmm. so it really kind of took off. I had a lot of folks that were reading the blogs, and then they started asking, well, we'd love to see a book. When are you going to write a book? And it's like, well, I'm just not in a good place right now. Well, fortunately, God gave me the grace to take on a new job at a new company. And I always joke that it was like, thanks, God. Now I got it. I got this great company. I'm doing good. I don't need you right now. I'm good. Thanks. Mm. Thanks for your help. I'm moving on. Mm. And so I kind of put the writing back in the drawer. But as I got to the point where, and again, I hate the term retirement because it sort of creates this mental image of, you know, doing nothing or golfing or something that is not particularly productive. But I retired in order that I could do more of this kind of writing and talking. And so my wife said, this really feels like something that's a passion for yours. Why don't you try to pursue this? So again, either Tom's sloth or God's timing, the book was, 18 years in the works. But the book is a whole lot more mature and a whole lot more insightful than the, 17 year ago, Tom that would have tried to write it back then.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the person I am now is even better than the one who wrote the book. So yeah, don't buy the book. Wait for the next one, I guess is my message. I'm not good at this entrepreneurial thing. Yeah.
That's really not the marketing way on that one. It's buy the book and there'll be another edition coming out that will make it even, that will add on top.
It'll be much better.
We'll work through that one offline. So, so the question I have really is, what we're talking about with faith at work isn't, it sounds like, apostatizing your faith while you're at work, but living by our faith when we're at work. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's one of the pieces of advice I got that just really resonated with me, is that there are certainly restrictions in the workplace about what you can say at work, but there are not restrictions about how you can act like Christ in the workplace. For me, that was just a really eye-opening piece. I can show grace. I can show kindness. I can pull someone aside and connect with them as a person in the midst of our workday. And no one's going to call HR and say, Tom's acting a whole lot like Jesus today. I think we should probably, scale that back.
Tom's being nice.
We can't have that. It's so out of character for him. We have to wonder if maybe there's something else going on. But I think that's the piece, is it's too easy for us. And again, our jobs are really important. They provide a paycheck, they provide insurance, they provide sustenance. And so we tend to put those in the place on the throne that we should have God and Jesus. And so we get a little scared. I don't want to brush up against that. I don't want to do anything that makes waves, because I don't want to get that call from HR. Mm. But I think we tend to think about it wrong. I think we need to think about, how can I act in a way that lives out my faith, that I can come home at the end of the day and say, wow, that was a painful, not good day, but I was faithful to my faith. I lived in a way that I can look myself in the mirror, I can look Jesus in the eye and say, wow, I did live out my faith today, and did it without getting a call from HR. I don't know why I keep painting HR as bad people. Most of the people in HR I know, they're good people. Some of them are Christians. So yeah.
They just get it all.
They
just dump it all their direction.
Either that or the lawyers, Yeah. And the HR will bring the lawyers, right? Those of us who have worked in corporate settings.
What I love about this is, and sometimes I think how we act apostolizes, I can't even say that word, so much more, right? Because I believe modeling the behavior, people learn from, honestly, a lot better than if we were sometimes on the mound, right? Preaching.
Right.
And so what I love that is you're still able to do that by modeling your faith. It still reaches so many people just by being you. I love that.
Well,
yeah, you think about that when it comes to apostatizing by our actions. So people just witness that we are content, happy. You know, what is that? Where can that be more effective,
right,
than the 7, 8, 9, 6, whatever those hours are per day that we're around people in a workforce? That's the biggest impact we have on other lives. People see us more at work. We interact with people more at work than anywhere else. It's the perfect place to model Christ without people even knowing you're modeling Christ.
Right. And to not beat yourself up when you fall short. I mean, that's the other part of my message and again, this is, I mean, frankly, I mean, if anybody reads the book, that's great, but it's more me processing how badly I did this throughout my career, is that it's so easy to get discouraged because we have this sense of this is the level of performance I should be doing in my faith. And if I don't meet that standard, then at least in my case, it's easy to say, well, you know, I'm just not good at this. I should just give up. You know, mm-hmm. I'll just go ahead and compartmentalize, because as a male of the species, I'm really good at that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put on my work hat and my work suit, and today I'm going to act like work. I'll wear my faith suit when I go to church on Sunday. And I just don't think that's what we're called to do. But yet, that's what I made a career out of doing. So I guess the book is my atonement, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about my years of atonement. I was always in the agency type of world, so everything was client focused. Yeah. And I used this line probably 1,000 times in my career when we would have some type of issue and it would be, hey, we don't need to tell the client. If they don't find out about it, we're okay. If we can correct it before it gets out, whatever that is. And I would always say, remember, you can't spell the word client without the word lie in the middle.
I'm going to write that one down, RJ. That's a good one.
Not particularly Christ-like when I was teaching the younger associates in all of my years. So, darn it.
Yeah, well, I love this message. You know, Tom, just towards the end here, I always like to get into the mechanics of things. What, you know, 3 tips could you tell the business dads out there that are struggling with this, either in the companies they own or the companies they work for, or, you know, in any kind of work atmosphere? What are some tips that you could help them with through this?
Yeah, that's great. And I'm actually working on a presentation, and let's see if I can remember my 3 points here. the first one is just to think about it. Like I said, for me, I tended so easily to compartmentalize and just to think, even on days when I was getting good at doing my Bible reading beforehand and reading scripture, reading devotions, still something, a switch flipped when I got to the office and I was all work. Mm. So the first thing I do is encourage dads to just think about it, you know, just give some thought to that. And sometimes, you know, there's a number of mnemonic devices or things you can do. I joke about, you know, I like to have trinkets in my office that sent a signal that I'm a Christ follower. And is that going to bring somebody to Christ when they see all the trinkets and the bookmarks and the paperweights? No, of course not.
Right.
But it just serves as a gentle reminder to me that this is important to me and I need to bring it to the office, bring it to the workplace. So the first thing is to think about it. The second is to make sure it's natural and it's comfortable. I mean, like we were talking earlier, this is not about the command to, you know, make disciples in the conference room and baptize them at the water cooler. That's not what it's about.
That'd be really a day.
It'd be an interesting day. I'm guessing HR would stop by if that's the case, but just do what you're called to do. You know, and part of knowing what you're called to do is seeking guidance to do that. I'm in a phase of my life right now where it's really an interesting exploration about the Holy Spirit. You know, what is the power of the Holy Spirit? How do you access the power of the Holy Spirit? How do you hear from the Holy Spirit? And so I think that's the other piece of it is call out, and but yet do what you're called, what is natural for you, you know. Hmm.
I like that.
You know, you mentioned sales, Dustin. I'm obviously a terrible salesperson, so you're not going to find me on a sales team or on a call center. Because that's not what I'm called to do. That's not where my giftedness is. So do that.
Like that. Serve with your talents. I love that.
Yeah. And then the third piece is, again, give ourselves grace. We have a God of truth and grace. And so often we're so grateful for the grace of Jesus, but we don't give ourselves that same grace. And, you know, every day is a new opportunity. And this applies to, you know, any of the six pillars.
Yeah.
Give yourself grace when you fall short, when you don't meet the expectation. Just commit that you're going to try again. You know, use the resources you've got, call in the Holy Spirit, and give yourself grace so you can keep at it. Don't give up.
Yeah, I love it. Those are great three tips. And honestly, anytime you just mentioned it, all those tips could work in all six pillars.
Right.
Right.
Sure could.
I love that. So guys, make sure you go back and listen to that. Write that down. Maybe we can put those in the show notes, but those were great, great tips. Thank you. This has been awesome. We will have the link to get the book because I'm going to sell it for him. Don't wait till the next book is out get the book because it's just such an interesting premise that, you know, I never even realized that it's something I probably struggled with, right? It's one of those things that was so, I didn't think about it. I think that's, you know, that was my challenge there. I never thought, now it's been a long time since I had to work for someone. But yeah, I love the premise. I love everything of it. Tom, this has been great. RJ, you got anything last words to add?
No, just ask Tom. So where do we find you? Is there out there somewhere? See your writings?
Yeah. By all means, please join with me on LinkedIn. And again, LinkedIn is a really interesting place because I'm trying to put that square faith peg in the round hole that is LinkedIn. So, connect with me there. Also Substack is where I have a platform for, you know, what used to be blogs, but now is such. And again, you can find the book on any online book vendor and maybe even a local book vendor. Who knows?
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. Well, thank you guys. Guys, make sure you go back, write those tips down. This is great. Of course, you can always continue this conversation with us at the free Balanced Business Dad Facebook group. You can find that just by typing in Balanced Business Dad, or you can go to dadupgroup.com. You get a little bit of free training from me on how to use the DadUp framework, as well as the link right into the Facebook group. And besides that, guys, remember to dad up because the people who love you the most deserve it.
That sounds perfect. All right. I think we're done here. We're out.